Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignments over the weekend. On Friday, do the two-handed recording exercise with the one who makes commitments. What did you notice? Record and listen. Then on Saturday, do the two-handed recording exercise with the one who keeps commitments. What did you notice? Record and listen. And then on Sunday, do the two-handed recording exercise with the one who breaks commitments. What did you notice? Record and listen. So here's our first caller. Sherry, did I lose you?
Oh, sorry, I was muted. I was doing my good citizen thing. Here I am.
All right, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Carol from
Hello.
San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hey, good morning. Wow.
Good.
Oh.
What are you seeing?
Well, the thing I'm seeing is both with the relationship section and the commitment section. Well, first I'm told that I'm a commitment phobe, but I find out that that's not true. And then...
Yeah, that's worth the whole thing right there, isn't it? Just time right. after time, I'm told it's not true. And then they say, and I find out it's not true.
Love it.
Okay, go ahead.
So that's been helpful. I don't have this fully developed yet, but this is what I'm seeing with both of them, the subject of vulnerability, and then that seems to be the area that I'm the most avoidant. And it feels like it's just horrible. It's like having your skin peeled off. And then I watch the examples both at retreats or on the group phone calls, and I see a different example of what it looks like, I think. And so what it seems like is to me that there's this twisted thing where I see vulnerability as being vulnerable to ego, and it is really awful and unsafe to do that, if I'm making any sense on that.
Not only are you making sense, you have hit that nail squarely on the head. Because the only thing that is vulnerable or feels vulnerable is ego. And that's how it gets people to protect it. Because it makes us feel like we're the ones who are vulnerable, who feel that awfulness. And so when it says, so don't say anything in public and don't go on retreat and don't make yourself vulnerable. Of course, it's not going to say, don't make me vulnerable. And so we go, oh, yeah, that does feel awful. It's awful. I don't want to do that. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's so helpful. The way that it shows up, I think, is it's almost like oversharing sometimes in a weird way.
To make you vulnerable.
Make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. What's going to reinforce its message. So if it can get a person to go unconscious and do something, you know, whatever, that's going to result in those feelings being valid, so it says, it person puts person into unconscious mode and then gets the person to say or do something really embarrassing. So then it can come back and say, do you see how you are and what happens? Don't do that. Don't do that. And the whole thing is so complex. We've been bamboozled for so long that breaking it down the way you're doing is something we're just never supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just getting the early glimpse of it. It seems like what we're going for is vulnerability to life.
Because life is compassion. So it's really never vulnerable. But what we can do is be present with all of our conditioned fears and anxieties and concerns and, you know, all of the stuff that has been done to us through that system. We can be in life with all of that, and that can be acknowledged, embraced, and healed by life. Because what life is going to say is, oh, Carol, that never did have anything to do with who you are. That's not what you are. You were talked into getting so anxious you went unconscious, and that happened. But you weren't there. You didn't do that. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You don't need to feel bad about that.
Wow, that's great to have it broken down like that, because I hearing things in the email class about embarrassment and you know, that it's not really, it isn't really us. It's this other whole story.
That's right. Because when the person is put unconscious, which it really is like that. It's an instantaneous hypnosis or something equivalent to that. And the person is gone. Mm-hmm. Ego has slipped in, has taken over. It's running the show. It does whatever. We come to. We're brought back. You know, 1, 2, 3, you're wide awake. For the result of whatever that system just did. And then we are blamed for it, right? And meant to take that on and feel what it tells us we need to feel as a result of that. And, you know, it could be true that whatever it did while we were not there upset people, offended them, was rude or cruel or whatever. And so when we come back, we are really horrified by that information, because what we know but we don't put together until, you know, we break it down like this, I would never do anything like that. In our hearts, we know, I would never do anything like that. And the voice can say, but you did. And we have nowhere to go with it. Now we do, but we didn't.
And the place we have to go with it is to say, oh, wow, I don't know where that came from. I apologize, make some amends.
Well,
right?
I depending on who, you know, the circumstances, you can say, wow, that was the equivalent of an awareness blackout.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I wasn't here for that. I got completely, and if somebody has any clue at all about how things work, then that'll be an important thing for them to consider. If you know they don't, then you just say, wow, I had a lapse. I apologize. I didn't mean, you know, whatever, however you want to go about it. And you're not doing it from a I did that place. You're doing it from a, ooh, I got taken over. And so I learned a big lesson. I see one more way that it does that. Yep, this is helping with my awareness practice. That's what's going on inside of you. You know, what you say to them is just something, they'll think you did it, but they'll know you feel bad, and they'll know you apologized, and so they'll get over it because they do the same kinds of things.
Wow. It just opens up a whole new world, really, because all these areas that have to go into avoidance and that have to be, you know, hid behind a curtain, it seems
That's
like
right.
they could be coming out into the open if in this new way of looking at it.
That's right. And especially, you know, the places where that's the case. You know, you know where it's telling you can't blah, blah, blah. And there are people that you can say, you know, all my life I've been told I can't blah, 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 blah. And I'm ready to risk it. So can you be supportive and patient while I do that? Because I think it's not going to be skillful. And they're going to say, of course.
That's to other people you're saying that.
Uh-huh. Because there will be people in your life who are ready to support you in this transformation. We all have those people. And we can be honest about what's going on with us. You know, all my life I've been told I need to be afraid of public speaking. So I'm going to take it on. And I'm going to be looking to you for support. And they're going to say, all right, you go.
Wow. Well, that's so helpful. Thank you for expanding on that.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. I can't even tell you how welcome you are.
Yeah. Great. All right. Thank you.
You go have fun. Because the holidays are coming, right? And this is, you know, all this stuff is, for many, many people, it's just right in our faces. So, you know, let's pick the places and know it's a retreat and it's a workshop, and we're gonna take it on with all the conscious awareness that we can muster, and we're going to get bamboozled, and we're not going to feel bad about it.
Yes, so many opportunities are coming.
Oh, so many opportunities. Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you both. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. It's such an important conversation, Sherry. So if I can reflect what you were just saying, that what we are, we find ourselves saying that we don't want to be vulnerable to someone else because we're going to get hurt. But really what we're saying is what that is, if ego is speaking, is that ego does not want to be vulnerable. And so we find ourselves
exposed. It doesn't want to be exposed, right?
Exposed or revealed or whatever. And so what we live in is defending the ego and being vulnerable to it
rather than
being open to life and not and exposing the ego.
And what you're underlining here is the essential piece. We're learning that we are not ego. That's what we're really learning in this. And it's kind of like conjoined twins, right? It feels like we can't separate out that other without losing ourselves. And it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the place that you're pointing at, which is so important, that when we come to, we do want to bridge the separation that is caused by us being identified and unconscious with the other person. But we want to be really, really careful where the apology comes. I'm not apologizing for ego. I'm apologizing just to underline that it was a lapse of awareness, not that I'm taking ownership for the ego, for ownership that I am ego.
And that's really the
movement we're practicing. Skillfully.
And that's the, to that's be skillful the word. That's the word. It was a lapse. It was a lapse. It was a lapse of awareness, a lapse of consciousness.
Yes, mm-hmm. So there is no blame and there is no shame.
That's it.
Because it's identified accurately for what it is, which is a lapse of awareness. Now, if we get that, then we're able to facilitate someone else's experience as a consequence of that lapse, however it makes sense to them. But we're really clear what happened.
Yes, well, and that's the next piece of it, right? So if I know how that process works in me, then when I'm the recipient of that process in somebody else, I know what happened. I know that person would not have done that if they were present in conscious, compassionate awareness. I know it was a takeover. So I don't need to do anything with it. I don't need to,
don't need to take it personally.
I don't need to take it personally.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a great gift to humanity.
Great gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
You sound like you're fully among the living at this point.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to. It's nothing like not being able to breathe to remind you what a great gift it is to breathe and all of that for sure. So.
Yeah, when we come back to the breath and it feels like it's not there, it changes our relationship with it in a profound way. Yeah. Anyway, what's going on? What are you seeing?
Yeah. Well, I was, gosh, that was such a great conversation. So it's kind of looking at both the commitments and the vulnerability. So So I don't know. I'll just look at one here. But with the commitments one, it was, you know, all of these are just so fascinating and helpful. So I first noticed the, like, resistance of, oh, you know, do the two-handed recording. I mean, that's going to take forever. You know, it's so funny to see that. Like, I can't just write something in the workbook. You know, I mean, that whole resistance. Yeah. And, you know, glad that I saw it and was like, no, I'm going to stay with this. And, of course, it's so funny, too, because sometimes, you know, it's not even like the two-handed recording, you know, has to be like this long affair, although it can be, you know, but it's just, it's so funny that, you know, sometimes a quick two-handed recording is so illuminating and wonderful. But anyway, it was funny to see that and
well,
then to stay with it.
Jen, if I may interrupt you at that juncture, that is a really important point. Ego says if the authentic human being ever gets their hands on that recording device, they're going to go on and on and on, which is classic projection. Right? Because that's what ego does. But if that authentic human being gets a chance to be heard, the odds are really good. They're right there and they know what they would like heard. So that's a good point. It could be very fast.
Yeah, that's so fun to see. Yeah. So, and then doing it was so helpful. I mean, it was just for each of the places, like the making, you know, who makes the commitments, who keeps them, who breaks them, all of that. It was just so illuminating as to, like, yeah, no wonder there's so much suffering around commitments, at least for this person. Because there's just, it's so, like, murky and not clear. Like, there's all that, you know, like, well, don't make commitments because then you'll just be successful because, you know, you didn't break any, you know, so there's like that whole thing that goes on and, you know, and then like really what I saw a lot of was that some level of like just not really getting clear because you're supposed to feel bad if then you got clear and you made a commitment and you didn't keep it, like all that stuff just seems to keep it all in place from like just making a commitment and having like what I would hear with the mentor in each of those was just that support of like, you know, it's okay. I'm here with you. Like I want to help you to have that feeling of how good it feels to, you know, to show up and do these things that you want to, but not because you have to be, you know, evaluated about this just because you want to do these things, but I'm kept from being allowed to ever really get clear, you know, like, yes, I actually do want to commit to this thing. I'm, you know, told to keep it in the land of like murkiness so that it just stays in suffering.
Right. That's exactly right. And when you said that, when you laid that out, I go back to what it was like for us as kids, right? When we were little kids, we wanted to learn. I mean, if you want to see the desire to learn in action, spend a little time with a 3 or a 4-year-old, right? And then we hit education, and boy, does that get squashed because it's not just fun and exciting to explore and learn and find out. You need to know. You need to have right answers. You're going to be evaluated, right? And that's what you're describing with this until the point that we are so beaten down by being watched and evaluated and punished that we don't want to take a step out there because we know it's going to be awful. And so to go at it the way you're talking about, which is to go back to that place of, no, I want to do this. I want to do this for me. There's no judgment, no standards, no evaluation. I want to do this for me. That's where we want to get to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was just really grateful for that. And it's got me, you know, it's this place too of getting well again. Cause I didn't do, you know, I typically have a 10,000 step commitment. Right. And I didn't do that for a period of time while I was recovering. And so it's just, it was
and now
lovely
you will.
Timing really. Right. To get back.
And
to
now
me.
You will. And now you will get back to.
Yes.
All of your life that you love to participate in, because that's who you are, and that's what you will do. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It just kind of re-inspires, like, right, this is why I want to do these things, and this is the place that I want to come from with them. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. What I'm seeing about that, Cherry, is that how the
the voices will keep us from making commitments and keep us in that murky place of, I actually want to do this, but I'm not allowed to see that. And then mm-hmm. when it's inappropriate to keep the commitment, for example, when you're recovering from it, that's when you're told you should keep the commitment.
Right, right,
right.
Oh, what a good point. It'll talk you out of it, talk you out of it every day until you're sick and can't do it. Well, you should. Now, see,
that's right.
You're not, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why we're learning. Yeah, I think that's why we make commitments, because we're learning to calibrate to life, not calibrate to ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
when it says don't do it, we look to life and say, okay, it's time to do it. And when it says do it, we look to life and find out what's appropriate to do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, and again, it's back to what we were talking about with Carol, that the bottom line of all of this is having a direct felt experience of what is ego and what is the human being. Every mm-hmm. one of these yeah. exercises is an exercise in sorting that out.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. All right, mm-hmm. here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Esther from the Netherlands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Howdy.
Howdy.
good to hear from you. What are you seeing?
Oh, I'm seeing so much. I don't know where to start. And I have this belief that I always talk too long, that I cannot get to the point.
Well, I'll cut you off, Esther. Don't worry about it. 'Cause that's my job on these calls, to talk too long. So, yeah, go ahead. Risk it.
Okay, but one of the things that I think arose, and Ashwini just said it in a very nice manner, and I think that is, I use other words, but what I came to today was I have lots of commitments, and the commitments, when I don't keep to them, a part of it has to do with me then having to choose for something else because of what is showing up in my life at that moment.
Yeah.
But exactly yes. what the previous caller and you were talking about happened to me too. Okay, recently I was ill, and that's exactly, well, you should be doing this, and blah, you know, the blah, blah story. And mm-hmm. today I was just like, take it easy, see how far you can walk outside. And it just dropped in me, you know what? This is baloney that you're breaking your commitments because of a nonsense story going on. That's just not true.
That's just not true. Exactly.
It's just not true. And then when I yeah. heard Mentor saying that, I was like, yeah, that's what Sherry says too. Find out if it's true or not. You don't say it that way, but it was like, you know, I was getting another, I don't know how to say it, like another voice coming through, a supporting mentor or something like that. I'm not saying yes. it the right way, but it's...
Yes. Well, but what you're describing is perfect because you're there, you're present, and so you're seeing all the players, right? And
yeah.
because you practice, the weight is on the side of the support, the mentoring, the truth, if you will. We always have
yeah.
to put truth in quotes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you saw, wait a minute, that's not true. No. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
And what did come through was that I could be kinder to the human to mm-hmm. see what, you know, what is really, what's the word? Well, I can't
well,
say
to see,
better, right?
To see what she's really capable of right now. To
exactly.
see what would take care of her right now.
Yes,
right.
Not right.
From,
exactly.
Because commitments, we make commitments for extended periods of time, right?
Yeah.
And so, and that's what you're seeing in this that's so important. Yeah, you have a commitment to health and fitness, and right now you're sick. And
yeah.
so what about right now? What is the most compassionate way to be with this human being right now? And as
exactly.
we just went through with Jen, you know, as soon as you're back to full capacity, you're going to go right back to your all of your commitments for healthy meals and exercise, and because that's who you are, and that's what you want to do.
Yes, and in a manner that is compassionate,
yes,
and not
kind,
not like somebody with a stopwatch behind me because something took 5 minutes longer because my hands aren't working the way, you know, they used to.
Right. And Esther, if they only had a stopwatch, that would be one thing. But it's a stopwatch and a stick.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So there's the timing.
The real thick one.
Yeah. All right, good.
There's the tiny one.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't listening. I bet it's Winnie was. So let's find out. Anyway,
yeah.
We did fine, I think. And it's good
thank
to hear
you.
Your voice, and I'm glad you're there and well and like that. So
thank you.
So there. All right. Thanks, Esther.
Thank you.
Thanks, Esther.
What
Sherry,
were
I dropped. I dropped off the call.
Well, Esther can listen to the recording then and find out what we were talking about at the end.
Something about a stopwatch, and then I. Then my phone dropped.
Yeah, that's conditioning's way of inspiring and encouraging a human being through life. Walk around behind it, behind that human being with a stopwatch and a stick, ready to judge and beat. I wonder why we get depressed and defeated and lose our enthusiasm.
Exactly. Why commitment is such the equivalent of what do you call it, the cross to the vampire or garlic or whatever it is, right? There's just such a desire not to make a commitment because what it implies is squeezing out of a life force rather than enjoying enthusiasm.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we actually only have one more minute, so no time for another caller, but what dropped in for me around that was also the fact that I think we've looked at this before, how structures assist us to be free, which is such an oxymoronic statement because a structure feels confining. But what we see over and over again is the structure is what assists us to see the ego that struggles with, struggles with being seen. And that's all the structure is for. It's not confining us. But the reason we feel confined or having to comply is because we own the ego's experience of not wanting to be seen. And so if we realize that a commitment is really to reveal the ego, its resistance, its, whatever it's got going about it, then we switch it from something that is the stick and the stopwatch to being something that assists us to reveal it.
It becomes a spotlight on ego. And a big help, again, my obsessive theme this morning, of seeing what is the ego and what is the human being. So the structure really supports the human being, as you're saying, to be able to see what is ego.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very good. Mm.
Which brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And here's our assignment for today. What have you wanted to commit to and continually find yourself unable to commit to? Record and listen.
Oh, it's very exciting. It gets better and better and better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you,
Sherry. All right.
Thank you, everybody. Mañana.
And mañana.